Today on Karina and Kirsten Get to Work, we're talking about a poem by the renowned poet T.S. Eliot. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking about To Care or Not to Care, which T.S. Eliot does have a poem. But we're talking about maybe giving a little less of a shit at work. Friends?
Cheers to that. Welcome to Karina and Kirsten Get to Work. I'm Karina Hoyer.
And I'm Kirsten Barron.
And we are here to talk to you about women and work because we want you to have some sweet, sweet ease, meaning, and joy.
Wow, yes.
In your job and, frankly, in everything you do. And sometimes that means giving a few less...
Shitty shit shits.
F you...
Stinkity stink
stinks. Stink stinks. At your job. Oh man, I love this episode. I also have to apologize to the listener because I got a bit of a cold. I'm going to do some pausing for the sneeze and
the
sniffle.
Sniffling.
And we also have to say congratulations to our lovely sound engineer, Stacy.
From Talking to Crows.
Who's newlywed.
Congratulations.
Congrats, Stacy.
So great.
We're a huge fan of the convention of marriage.
Yes.
Also, if you don't want to be married, we're a huge fan of that, too.
We're a huge fan of all the conventions.
We actually don't care.
We don't care.
We don't care if you're married or not.
Be happy.
It is up to you, which is what this episode is all about. And I'm so excited to talk to you about this, Kirsten, because it's really interesting in the from two women who are just, you and me, are like, we care. We are like career centered. We are career focused. We are working with people to do their work. We have a podcast about finding what you want and what you need in your job. And it's so cool that part of that is also meh,
not so much.
I'm not sure I care about that.
Well, you and I started having this conversation about like not caring. Like, what are the things we don't care about? And as we're talking about this, we're like, we should really have this with our listeners.
Yeah.
Because not caring is not, like, we don't talk about that very much.
Mm-mm. And it's a choice. It's a choice to care or not to care. I mean, I swear, I hear people, I wrote this list down. In fact, you saw it. I hear people care about so many things at work. Other people's opinions, other people's behavior, when other people show up at work, outcomes they can't control, comments they overhear, whether they feel valued or not, how someone talks to them, how they talk to other people, how that email came across, how that email didn't come across, what my title is, who's on my team, who's not on my team, what assignment I was given. I mean, my God, the list goes on and on, down to things like what's being served at the luncheon or where are we going for happy hour. I mean, people care about everything.
There's so much to
all
care about.
The time.
There's just so much to care about.
And I'm frequently in a position where I'm thinking, why? What? Why do you care?
So we tell stories, Karina and I tell stories that happened to us.
Yeah.
There is a story that I read in one of the articles when we were preparing for this that I thought was just such a great story. I have to share it. It's such a great story.
It encapsulates exactly, yes.
Okay, it's from The Cut, and it's talking about emotionally detaching at work. And this is the dialogue. So there's a person who's setting up a digital system for their documents at work, and it wasn't really an exciting project, and it didn't really require this worker to be enthusiastic, but she spends hours and hours on it and shakes it to her boss, and her boss says, "Ooh, I want to do it entirely differently." And so she is ripped, and she is talking to her friend, and she's like, "This blah, blah, blah." She's just outraged that this person has like undone all of her work. And the friend.
And she took it personally.
Well, yeah, she's indignant and outraged. Anyway, the friend says, "Honestly, that doesn't sound like a big deal. I mean, am I getting paid for that work? You know, yeah, then I think I don't care."
Right.
Like, I have that happen to me all the time. Clients ask me to do something and I'm like, "Oh, I think that's a bad idea. Or I don't think you need that. Why do you want that?" And then I'm like, okay, well, they want to pay me for it and they want it. It's a win-win.
Right. I've given my opinion. They're not taking it.
No.
They're paying me to do this other thing. Why the hell do I give a shit? This person says, the author of that article in The Cut said her friend's indifference contradicted every work instinct she had, but in a way it was admired because, like, this emotional detachment from work can actually make you happy, which is really what we want to talk about today. Mm-hmm. How stepping back, evaluating truly what you care about and choosing that can really shift. It can bring you some more ease, meaning, and joy.
Yet, do you really care that your electronic, digital, whatever filing system is the one that ends up being used or not? Do you really
care? Do you really care? Mm-hmm. My sister and I went out for lunch a while ago, and she was telling a story about a friend of hers who was trying to order a beer. And there were multiple, you know, it's like in any place, there are multiple things to choose from. And she had to taste two or three beers before she could select one. And she likes beer. It's not like she's going to love one and hate every single one. She's going to like all of them. And I remember distinctly my sister saying, just order.
Why do you care so much? Just get a beer.
Or get a beer and it's going to be fine. You're going to like it. And I think that's kind of where that story rings true for me in so many situations. I catch myself getting all worked up about something when in reality,
I don't care.
I really don't care. It's taken a lot of energy that I don't really need to put out. Now, there are times when people should care. And we want to clarify, right?
Oh, that's the you've just identified the balance, the trickiness, the magic, the whatever. This when do you care and when do you not care? Because mm-hmm. there is so much that to care about that we should care about. And, you know, side note, this is the English major in me speaking. Mm-hmm. I want to apologize. That's the T.S. Eliot poem. It's all about what we're talking about now, the things we go into now, which is what do we care about and what should we not care about?
Right.
Okay, so what should we care about?
Well, do you want to say anything more about that poem?
I'm going to talk about it four more times.
But is there a line or something specific you want to reference?
That's where the line comes. That's this wonderful line, to care and not to care. Uh-huh. That's where that line comes from. And there's also these wonderful, like, juxtapositions of different lines of poetry.
Okay.
Like the rose of memory and the rose of forgetfulness, right? It just articulates this balance that we're trying to find in our lives between caring and not caring.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is, it's a really, when you think about it, it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Right. As we suss through this, but let's talk about what we do care about at work.
Yeah. I found a great list that somebody else put together, and you know,
when do you give a shit?
Yeah. It was like,
when should you give a shit?
When should you give a shit? And I don't care about taking credit for other people's work. I'll give it away. I'll give it to them because they deserve it. This author says we really should give a shit about personal relationships with family, friends, loved ones, coworkers, etc. Our responsibilities, right? Fulfilling obligations. When we say you shouldn't care, we're not saying that we should all be slacking off of our responsibilities in our relationships. You should care about professional development in your career, right? Learning more.
Striving for excellence, being better or having more ease in what you do even.
Yeah, yeah. She also indicates caring about financial responsibility, right? You don't want to be completely flip about your money. You know, manage your finances wisely, negotiate a good wage, essential, et cetera. Essential? What the hell is that?
Essential. I don't know why you're laughing. Miss Malaprop makes up words all the time. There you are. A malapropism.
I think the author was a woman.
I think you're correct.
Also says we should care about ethical and moral considerations. And I would say also if your values are being challenged, right?
I really liked this one.
Yeah.
Because there are some things that we care about for ethical or moral reasons. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, of course that's the thing we should care about, right? Because we care about our morals, we care about our ethics.
Yeah. If you're an accountant and you're being asked to cook the books, you care about that. Mm-hmm. If you're a advertising executive and you're lying to consumers, you should care about that. If your coworker's email comes across slightly, you know, annoying or snotty, maybe you don't care about that.
But if it is harassing or discriminatory,
yeah,
different story.
Maybe you should. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Yeah, exactly. I started thinking about why do we care so much about our details about these details at work. And it really is.
Is it not because you're tired and you've only had sugar that day? Because that could be why I care so much about things.
Yeah. Is it? Does that happen to you frequently?
I'm just saying our state of mind and body really affects this for me.
Yeah.
Right. So when we think, why do we care so much at work? Sometimes I do think to myself, I think I would care less if I had an apple and a glass of water.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You're not caring for yourself. You know, I think sometimes I think that people care so much about the minutiae. That's really how I would categorize it, because they lack perspective.
That's a very, yes, they lack perspective.
I find myself caring a lot when I lack perspective. And when I see something from a different angle, or when I'm able to step back from it, I get perspective, I frequently don't care nearly
and
as much.
It's interesting because you rarely don't have perspective.
Oh.
Like there's been only two or three times that I think I can remember saying to you, why do you care?
Mm-hmm.
You've usually asked that question of yourself long before I get to you. Why do I care?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think that perspective piece is super important.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think also people care because they tell themselves stories
mm-hmm.
that probably aren't true
mm-hmm.
about their self-worth, about other people's intentions, about outcomes even mm-hmm. that are going to be the result of this. I find my husband, Barry, cares so much about things that our kids do that I don't.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm a better or worse parent. It's because I don't catastrophize. I don't project out that the behavior they're displaying today at 16
be who they will be at 30.
Does not mean this. Yeah.
And I also get when I talk to you about your kids that it's not a reflection of you.
Yeah.
Right. Like the boundaries between us. When our boundaries get crossed, I think we start caring about things maybe we shouldn't care about.
Right. Or we tell ourselves, I think that's such an interesting thing. I've seen that a lot where we tell ourselves other people's behavior is a reflection of us. And it's
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
Your coworkers' behavior.
I wish that my behavior was a reflection of my kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I really think this is terrible. I think my kids are just so great. I'm like, I wish I could be more like them.
I wish I could
Would
claim it.
Would it be true if I were like them?
Yeah, exactly. But it is interesting. Like we think that what other people are doing is a reflection of how they think about us and it's not. It's like we did a whole episode. I think we said it's not about you.
It's not about you. Exactly.
It's not about you. It's not about you.
For me, I think sometimes too at work, why do I care so much? Because there is an image that I have of myself that is partly like what I think other people expect of me.
Mm.
Like if I don't get an email back in 24 hours, I realize that if I'm late, if I'm 24 hours past, I say, sorry for the delay in responding.
Mm.
And I've stopped doing that. I'm like, you can't possibly respond in 24 hours to 200 emails a day. Why do I apologize?
Right.
Why do I care so much about this?
Right.
Like nobody has this urgent issue. So I think sometimes we care so much because we think that it is inconsistent with something we have about ourselves. And I needed to check in with that for myself. That's not a value that I have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, stop thinking that you have to quote unquote look a certain way.
Yeah.
And I know the look is like...
physical
I'm doing
look.
Like air quotes,
yeah.
Right? How appear a certain way. Oh, I'm so super responsive, right?
I was just thinking about that with lateness. Like, I really care about being on time.
You do, yeah.
Because it's despite my best efforts, I can't be late. I literally, yesterday when we were meeting for our walk, mm-hmm. I was like, I know they're going to be 5 minutes late. It's fine. Yes. Let's take our time. And I was still 5 minutes early.
I have to say, like, I'm so much better than I used to be. And I'm still trying on it. But I do. I'm like, I got 5 minutes either way.
Yeah. But I'm saying I don't care that you're late. I cared that I was late. And it was because I tell myself I'm punctual. I tell myself a lot of stories about what being on time mm-hmm. means when mm-hmm. really it was a Sunday or a Saturday and I'm going for a walk. What the hell do I? Nobody else cares about the 5 minutes. That's really interesting. Listener, think about why you care.
Why do you care?
Why do you care so much?
Yeah, I just want to give a little highlight to this strategy that we have at the end that I think is super helpful in sussing through this. Okay, let's talk about why caring less is good for us.
Yeah, because you're going to need some convincing. I do want to say your current challenge before we move on is think about what you care about specifically. When do you notice your blood boiling? When do you notice your heart rate getting up? When do you notice you're frustrated or
feeling
off
anxious about getting something to happen?
Yeah, or holding yourself to a standard.
Or honestly, even your feelings are hurt. There's so many feelings we can talk about that relate to this caring thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then why?
So many feelings.
Ask yourself why. And then when you realize, I don't know why, it's because I told myself a story about it and apparently that story's not true, let us convince you that caring less is good for you. You know, there was a recent article that came out that referenced some research from Harvard that caring less actually reduces burnout. We could mic drop right there. How many people are burned out these days?
So many people, we know this, and the numbers are not really going down.
No.
So, yeah, Harvard Business Review found that, you know, people who were really passionate about their jobs tended to overlook their personal needs,
yeah,
which resulted in burnout. So disconnecting, i.e. not caring,
yeah,
really good to reduce burnout.
They said that people who were very passionate about their jobs also spend countless hours ruminating about their job when they're not on the mm-hmm. on the job. Mm-hmm. And I thought, shit,
that's caring too much. That's ruminating.
I do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do that. It's too exhausting.
Yeah, I think.
I don't have the energy to ruminate.
I ruminate, but I ruminate about things where I'm in, like I have to facilitate a retreat on Tuesday and I'm trying to plan every minute of the day and then plan for contingencies because I'm on stage for an entire day and controlling in a lot of ways an entire group's experience. So I ruminate about that. I'm not ruminating about, you know, the email that went out to the wrong person.
And that's a tricky one. I think that articulates really well this balance between caring and not caring, because planning is really important.
Yeah.
So where does planning become ruminating? I'm going to say that's the magic. That's the trick. That's when we get better at figuring out this balance.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What else do we get from giving fewer shits?
Enhanced creativity. Researchers at the University of Eindhoven in the Netherlands found that a high level of cognitive detachment, i.e. not thinking about work when you're not working,
yeah,
is correlated with higher creativity. And this really makes sense because remember the episode we did about creativity?
Mm-hmm.
When people are engaged in these creative activities,
yes,
it really does enhance their work. So here's the flip side of this,
yes,
right? So your output when you are at work is better if you can let your mind rest and come back again.
It's really like, to me, this is like the, what is it? The diminishing returns. What's the first part of that sentence? The law of diminishing returns,
yes,
right? So you care so much about work that you're putting the time and energy into it after hours, thinking mm-hmm. about it, mm-hmm. et cetera, when if you were just to disconnect, you would be more effective,
right,
more creative.
Because those last 5 hours were not, they did not get you very much bang for your buck.
No. And now you're burned out. So you're, you know, toast the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Also giving or caring less gives you more resilience. And I think that the author who suggested this was really talking about tying your self-worth to your career outcomes. And when you do that and you fail, which we frequently do at work, we think it's a direct reflection of our self-worth. So the author was saying, if you can kind of detach yourself a little bit from who you are versus what you do, you'll be more resilient. You'll mm-hmm. be able to kind of roll with things, personal failures, anxiety around, you know, the opportunities to learn, et cetera, at your job. I was going to say failure again, and I was trying to spin it positively. But yeah, you'll be a more resilient worker mm-hmm. if you're able to detach a little bit. Back to this law of diminishing returns too, the research suggests that you're better at making decisions if you're detached mm-hmm. from your job.
Yeah, which makes total sense.
Yeah. It's kind of.
Because it gives you back to perspective, what you talked about in the beginning. Being a little bit detached gives you perspective, and perspective gets better decisions.
Yeah.
And then you're not also carrying around all of the things that we carry around when we are caring too much.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings.
The feels.
So many feelings.
The feels. You also won't just get upset as much. You really won't. When you care less, you find joy in...
And ease.
And ease.
Yes. When you care less, you just get... There's so much ease in not caring.
There's just so much ease. And again, it's not being so detached that you're, you know, failing to meet the, you know, your employer's needs or all your teammates are being let down by you. It's more like... How much emotional energy am I going to give to these things? And when you can reduce that, you just won't get upset as much.
I mean, that is the thing, right? About one of my favorite places to be in my work is when I know that I've done my best.
Yeah.
And then I let it go.
Yeah.
I like detach.
Yeah.
Like how it works out or how this happens. I've done what I can do. I cannot control the world. And that ability to detach, when I know I've done good work and I've really committed, it's one of my favorite feelings at work.
Uh-huh. It's interesting, too, because I think a lot of us get that feeling. If you're somebody who sort of tends to, again, ruminate, do a lot of this.
Or be overly responsible
or take on. Yeah, exactly. You get a glimmer of what it feels to not care so much when you're on vacation. Just a glimmer of it, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, but for me, that piece is just that, like, I've done really good work.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to put it out into the world and let it happen.
Right. And I'm saying that detachment, when you were just describing that detachment reminds me of what it feels like to be on vacation.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Absolutely. I had that experience recently when I was away for the weekend. I did not touch my email for like, oh my gosh, like what's 2 days plus 12 hours? I mean, it was...
Yeah.
How many hours?
Two and a half days. Let's just say.
Two and a half days. I didn't touch my email.
Yeah.
Gosh, it was amazing.
And it's really funny how all of those things that you probably, if you were keeping up on it, would have cared.
I didn't even notice. I didn't do the email thing. I didn't even notice. That's how detached I was.
Yeah.
That's how much I did not care.
And that's what we're aiming for at the end of the workday, on the weekends, and even sometimes during the week. I think one other benefit that I can think of caring less is that you start caring more about yourself.
That's what I just experienced when I was 2.5 days without the email, right? I really got a chance to really care about myself. And when I came back after 2.5 days and I was shocked that I hadn't looked at my email for 2.5 days, I felt so good.
Yeah.
I felt so good.
And I think we can do that. We can do that. We can do it in the evenings. Like I said, we can do it on weekends. We can do it on vacations. We can even do it during the work day. It takes practice and it takes choice, right? We have to choose. You really have to use that metacognition ability and pause and look at yourself from the third person or whatever from the outside and say, really? Okay.
Okay, let's figure this out. Like, okay, let's talk about how it is we go through that metacognitive process to ask ourselves whether this is worth it to care.
Yeah.
Okay, you just said it. Why?
Yeah.
Why do we care?
Why?
Why? Why do I care about this? Is it other people's opinions?
Mm-hmm.
Is it results? Is it going to make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just the way it looks?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because somebody else wants me to? I mean, those are the first questions. Why do I care so much about this?
Yeah. Research suggests that a lot of people care because they need approval, ties to self-esteem, and that's valid, right? We want to feel good about ourselves. External inputs, you know, create that. And also we care because we want to belong. We know how important belonging is. We are community focused, and also we like dopamine.
It feels so good, that dopamine.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, the positive. We care so much about the positive because it feels good. And when you get the opposite of that, the work is to fight how bad it might make you feel. Okay, so you ask yourself why, right? Mm-hmm. What's another way to kind of stop caring so much?
To recognize the limits of your own importance.
Yeah, it's not about you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, to recognize the limits of your own importance. Like, does it really matter if I do this? You know, and that can be like, I sometimes will think to myself, I'll say something a certain way and then feel really badly that I've said it a certain way.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will check in with the person and just say, I'm not going to feel bad about this. I'm just going to check in about it. Or I say, okay, it's up to them. If I stepped in it, if I, you know, was a stinker, they need to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this piece where I say, I'm not that important, for God's sakes.
Right.
And if I am, somebody will tell me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that, you know, most people are absorbed in their own lives.
Yes, never, as am I, clearly.
They have a really hard time right. believing that not everybody is as absorbed in their lives as they are. Mm-hmm. And we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're talking about mistakes, and we're like, most of the time, research suggests people don't even have, half the time, 90% of the time, they don't even notice.
Didn't even notice you made a mistake.
And
right.
if you are that important, you know, then giddy up. But most of the time, you're not. And also, if you are judged for something, so what?
Yeah, so why? Yeah, what do
so
you care?
So what?
What do you care?
Why does that matter? I mean, I frequently have to tell myself, well, geez, somebody being judgy about me is more about them than it is about me.
Absolutely.
Well, everybody.
This is one I don't really have a hard time with. Like, I don't have a hard time knowing that I'll be judged by others.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I kind of feel like, fine.
I think I've gotten a lot better at that as I've gotten older, and I've had people tell me that's sort of one of the markers mm-hmm. of, you know, moving into your 40s and your 50s is you really just
don't care.
You're just like, being judged,
no.
judge smudge. I don't care.
No.
Right. But a lot of people do feel, a lot of people do care about, and, or they think they're being judged. And I think that's the point I was trying to make earlier is, first of all, everybody does judge, but most of the time they're not judging you for the things you think they are. So let it go.
Yeah.
And if you do have those people in your life, if you do have those people who are just judgy and toxic and complain all the time and are constantly, get rid of them. That's another great way to care less,
right.
is to quiet that noise. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say about that?
I'm just saying yes.
You're just giving.
I'm nodding my head and I'm like, yes.
Somebody wrote, if your inner circle constantly makes you feel embarrassed or questions your every action, they may not be the right people for you. Yeah, that's right. Get rid of that toxicity and you will care
less.
Less. You will. Also perspective. I mean, I think that this one for me is what I said earlier, just reminding yourself that your job's paying bills. It's not everything. It's not your end all be all. It's not your identity inside and out. It's a means to an end.
So I feel like for me, my job is very much part of my identity. I became a lawyer because I wanted to be of service in the world.
Yeah.
It's my ministry in the world. So it's connected to my intellectual life, my spiritual life, my emotional life. It is so deeply a part of who I am, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's not.
Yeah.
And it's the lawyer does not go for a walk with you on Monday mornings at 6:30.
Right.
Right. The lawyer does not go to see my mom and have a glass of wine with my mom.
Right.
That's not who's going. So even though I really care so much about my work, I don't.
Right. And I think what you're just talking about is some boundaries too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in addition to like reminding yourself that your job is a means to an end, even if it is so much a part of you,
It still isn't.
You have to create boundaries between work
and
personal.
To recognize that, like, who you are fundamentally in the core of your human, your gorgeous, glorious human self is not a lawyer.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when I'm in the bathtub, I'm not there as a lawyer. You know what I mean? I'm not.
Yeah. Although you do read briefs in the bathroom.
I do, but I'm just a chick in a tub, right? I'm a chick in a tub. So that's my point. As much as you can really care and be committed,
yeah,
and not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we tell ourselves, again, stories about what a good worker is, what a good lawyer mm-hmm. is, what a good mm-hmm. mom, what a good sister, what a good, you know, et cetera are. And then we get all tied up around, we get all wrapped around the axle. I think I probably already said this today about, I've used that phrase. I love it so much.
Wrapped around the axle.
Wrapped
the
around the axle.
Greatest phrase
ever. I just think about like.
Might be that my favorite. There's so many. We should make a list, but that's on it.
I think about like barbed wire or something getting wrapped around your axle. I mean, you are screwed when that happens. It really is. You're not going anywhere.
You are.
But we get ourselves all wrapped around the axle about things that we tell ourselves define who we are. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is step back. Again, like I said, question those stories, question why we care so much about these things, and figure out how we are going to define ourselves differently. What's the strategy for that? So again, I mean, we've said, right, like getting rid of toxic people and remember that everybody judges and, you know, stop thinking you're all of that important, et cetera. But in the moment when I'm looking at, when I'm in the middle of something and I feel myself getting worked up, mm-hmm. what do? You found this really great
strategy. Yes. There is an economist, Albert Hirschman, and it's a kind of like it's a bigger book. But one of the takeaways from this book is he talks about how you can respond.
Yeah.
What is your response? And so he has offers four responses to any given situation. Exit.
Yep.
Voice. Do something to improve it. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to that. Persistence and neglect. Mm-hmm.
Those are your choices.
So something happens. You feel yourself getting worked up. What are your options? I could remove myself from the situation. I can exit.
Yep.
Exit stage left.
Yep.
I also like the question, which he raises, what if I do nothing?
Yeah.
I love that question. I'm just going to tell listeners, just ask that question of yourself all the time.
Yeah.
What if I do nothing?
Yeah.
What if I do nothing?
What if I love the just let them.
That is definitely you. Just let them.
Just let them.
Let them do their crazy.
If they're
let them do their thing.
That's the exit to me is like, yeah. If I, you know, like, huh, I really, I'm going to let you do it. I'm just going to let you.
I'm just going to let you do it.
Yeah.
Have at it.
Well, if I'm going to do nothing and let you do whatever you're going to do mm-hmm. over there. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That is one in the moment, one choice. Okay. Then he also says voice. You can actually use your voice and try to improve the situation or bitch about it. Or, you know, complain. Yeah. I mean, you can use your voice in a variety of ways.
And I feel like when he says this voice, he means take action, mm-hmm. not just with your voice, but there may be something to do.
Yeah.
So you find out what is your response to, like, and when you say my response is to actually take action, uh-huh. it might be saying something. It might be writing an email. It might be,
right.
you know, picking up the blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Right.
But do you act?
And I would caution.
Make sure that if you do nothing and if you do something, the result is not the same.
Right.
Because
exactly.
I'm going to pause it. We should do nothing.
Yeah.
Do not waste your energy when it's not going to make a difference.
Well, and I would say if you're going to do something, if you're going to quote unquote voice, be damn sure it's something worth caring about.
Mm-hmm. Back to those issues we talked about.
Back
what do you care about?
Starting with why. Why do I care about this? I really do.
Because it's I'm valid. In a relationship with this person and I love her.
Exactly.
Or this is the really big value to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, those kinds of things.
I'm the only one who's seeing this and we're, you know, careening, you know, towards that cliff. Okay, now I'm going to voice. The other thing you can do, which I've seen a lot of people do, frankly, is just persist, grin and bear it. Which is kind of like do nothing.
Except you are using energy when you persist.
Ah.
Because you have to grin and bear it. So you keep in the dance. Mm-hmm. Like I've noticed sometimes when I'm in a dialogue with a lawyer on the other side and we're both sending emails back and forth about something. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I am doing the same. This is the same email I sent. I'm sending it again. I get irritated that lawyer does not understand what I'm saying and agree with me for God's sakes.
Yeah, because
right?
you're brilliant.
Because he should.
Uh-huh.
And I think to myself, why did I just write these four emails with the same thing?
Hmm.
And that is when I think persistence, grin and bear it, is not helpful. There are other times when I think just being persistent and continuing to show up and do and do and do and do and do is very, very productive. I think like with child rearing. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes at work, but I find that persistence is more helpful in my personal life than it is in my work life. In that kind of grin and bear it way.
In the grin and bear it kind of way.
Grin and bear it way.
Yeah. I can see that. I see a lot of people who are sort of cranking through their job, cranking away, even doing things that maybe they wouldn't do if they were in charge, that they care about. Yeah. And they haven't exited. They're not saying anything about it. They're just cranking. Okay, that I get it.
And
that
it takes
different.
And it takes energy.
And it takes energy. And it takes energy. The other thing he says you can do is neglect.
Just... Oh my gosh. This one, I can just feel my blood pressure rise with neglect. Because everything runs through my brain. How you do anything is how you do everything. Right. And I am by everybody who knows me knows I am by no stretch of the imagination a perfectionist. Like I really am a good enough job person. I'm very rarely a perfectionist. So neglect. Oh, I'm just going to neglect it. That is so hard for me.
Oh my God. That is a strategy I use all the time.
And I'm so freaked out you just said that.
I know. Well, think about it. So somebody asks you to do something that you, I mean, it's, I would say maybe it's procrastination. It's like the procrastination is a precursor to neglect. But I have clients who, think I should be, no, I don't actually do this for clients. Maybe I just do it for my family. No, but I do think
I just neglect.
No, but I think if you like you neglect a task, like somebody gives you an assignment, you care about it, you're being asked to do something and put your name on it. You just kind of forgot they asked you. Does that ever happen?
Well, that to me though is not, that's not intentional neglect.
Okay.
Like this thing about intentionally neglecting something to stay but do less or pay it less attention.
Yeah.
This is just a really hard thing for me, particularly at work.
And especially about something you care about, which is sort of what we're talking about.
And also, I don't really have clients I don't care about.
Yeah.
I don't have clients I don't care about. I don't have work I don't care about. I have work that is less important, or I have too much work and I get behind. But it's not neglect.
Neglect is not a strategy you
use. I don't even know what this looks like for me.
Well, now I feel embarrassed that I said I do it all the time.
I think I'm underdeveloped. I need to work on this.
No, and I'm not saying, I love all my clients. Choose them. I feel like, yes, I have a curated client
list. Absolutely.
And I say yes and no to projects as they come based on what I want to do and what I feel like I cannot add value to. And yet there are things in my life that I care about that I'm asked to do. And rather than remove myself or rather than try to improve the situation or rather than just persisting and grinning through it, I do just sort of give it less energy.
Okay. I definitely have what I would say is less energy. So if we can say that neglect is less energy, I can probably buy into that. Maybe it's that, maybe it's the judgment or the what the word neglect means, right?
Yeah.
Less energy. I'm in now. I hope other listeners can join me in strategy, you know, potential response to the strategy in the strategy schema is less energy.
Okay. And I think that's exactly what I'm talking about. Just use less energy and just neglect the word neglect.
Exactly. Thank you, friend. Now I'm in. So exit, remove.
Yep.
Voice or act.
Yep.
Stick to it. Be persistent. Grin and bear it. Grind it out. Or use less. Just give it less energy.
Yeah. And I think, again, because why? Because you're going to be more creative and better at your job. And frankly,
feel better
about yourself. And you'll be way more fun to hang out with.
Way more fun. So I'm going to just, like, this is a challenge, a listener challenge. I'm going to end and say, find like three things this week.
Yeah.
To just care less about. Take a deep breath. Breathe in that ease. You know, prepare yourself for that joy because you're going to feel good.
And yeah.
And we want you to feel good.
And then go do something fun instead.
Yeah, because not caring can feel really, really good.
Just put your energy somewhere else.
Take care, listeners.
Take care. Thanks. Krina and Kirsten Get to Work is recorded and produced by yours truly, Krina Hoyer
and Kirsten Barron.
Find all of our episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on our website, or email us at yougettowork@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.